is the DUP softening their stance on a second referendum. Speaking on BBC Newsnight, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson told Emily Maitlis that the party was not ruling anything out. He also kept open the possibility of working with another party to block the current Brexit deal.
What we have made clear is that a Labour government led by Jeremy Corbyn, in our view, would also be disastrous for the United Kingdom, and we're opposed to that. Will Jeremy Corbyn still be the leader of the Labour Party after the election? We don't know. So we're keeping options open.
Would you be in favour of supporting whatever party or combination of parties allowed for a second referendum?
We want the United Kingdom to leave the European Union as one single unit, not what Boris Johnson has proposed.
Or not at all.
Which drives a trade border between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. In terms of the other options that might be available, we'll look at whatever comes forward. But our focus is on getting this deal changed.
But you're not ruling out supporting a second referendum?
Well, with respect, Emily, I'm not ruling it in either. I'm saying that we will look at the options that are available pending the outcome of the election. We may well be heading again for a hung parliament. And in those circumstances, we will use our votes in the House of Commons to stop this deal.
The political editor, Mark Devenport, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So what, they didn't rule out a second referendum, but do they really want one, Mark?
Oh, I don't think they really do. I mean, their ideal would be to be in such a position on the other side of the election that they could force Boris Johnson to change his Brexit deal, but not to abandon Brexit altogether, because obviously the DUP has been advocating Brexit now since that 2016 referendum. And I don't think that they really want to turn around, as, say, Steve Aiken has done already on your show previously, and say, look, remaining is the best way forward for the union. So they're looking to change the deal, but they are caught, really, because Boris is showing no sign whatsoever of changing his deal. And on the other hand, they've been saying, look, we're not going to prop up Jeremy Corbyn. So there's a question mark as to how they would use their influence on the other side of an election.
And Mark, is the union and the protection of the union most important to the DUP? So would they scrap Brexit totally to protect the union?
I think they probably would. I think Nigel Dodds has gone on a record about that previously, that obviously they're the Democratic Unionist Party, not the Democratic Brexit Party. So the union does trump it, but they have been fighting shy of abandoning Brexit altogether. Instead, a 12-point plan document that they brought out recently talked about looking for changes in the Prime Minister's agreement, particularly in relation to both what it does in terms of a customs border down the Irish Sea and that consent arrangement whereby the DUP thought they'd got a veto and then suddenly it was pulled away from them when it was made more of a majority vote than a parallel consent.
Mark, what I'm trying to understand is if we take what the DUP have been saying over recent weeks, which is that they think Boris Johnson's Brexit strategy does threaten the union, okay, that's what they've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then why is the DUP not saying, that's it, all bets are off, because the union is under threat, we are now against Brexit? Why the grey area with them rather than them saying we're now trying to stop Brexit?
I think obviously they have a couple of enthusiastic Brexiteers in their ranks, the likes of Sammy Wilson, Ian Paisley, who've been advocating it. And I think it would be quite a loss of face, so far as they're concerned, to turn around and simply junk that policy. So far, they haven't gone that far. And instead, they're still trying to, you know, look for this, if you like, nirvana of a Brexit that keeps the whole of the UK together. But their problem is that whilst they want to say, look, we could be in a position once again of using our influence in a fresh parliament, all the scenarios aren't looking particularly good for them, because at the moment most people will bet on Boris Johnson having a majority, in which case he doesn't have to change his deal in order to get them on side. And if not, if there was a Labour-led coalition, they're saying, well, Jeremy Corbyn can't be the leader, but if he was in such a position as to deliver a coalition with him being the main party, I don't think there'd be a lot of pressure within the Labour Party for Mr Corbyn to stand down.
So what do they do, Mark? If they don't want Boris Johnson's deal and they don't want Jeremy Corbyn, what do they do after this election? If for example, Labour, under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, are asking them for a partnership, what do they do?
Well, you know, I can't see them entering a formal partnership. And that's partly because of Jeremy Corbyn's historical links with Gerry Adams and other Irish Republicans, that they simply wouldn't go into a formal partnership. They may want to look closely at any kind of view that comes from the Labour Party if they were in the position of actually having a sort of decision-making ability at the head of some sort of coalition, because a soft Brexit might assuage a lot of unionist concerns, because it would keep all of the UK in a customs union rather than just having a sort of different kind of a customs arrangement for Northern Ireland. But, you know, what would seem most likely, and we can't be sure because obviously the campaign might still throw up some unexpected developments, would be that they'll be dealing potentially with Boris Johnson with a majority and looking for changes, but not being in the same position as they were previously of being able to dictate what he can or cannot take forward.
Mark, I shouldn't really do this because my memory sometimes fails me, but did I read it right a few days ago that Julian Smith has announced that the parties have agreed to all meet to after the election with a view to having talks about restoring Stormont?
Yeah, well, Julian Smith, interestingly, because you could think that he'd be using...
I saw that, didn't I?
Yeah, you could think he'd be using the election campaign simply to campaign at home and get re-elected, but he has actually been carrying on and meeting the parties in the meantime. He had meetings as recently as yesterday, and he is saying that, look, on the other side of the election, we need to go into quick talks, because in the middle of January, there's a deadline looming up whereby the current law, which allows civil servants to sort of carry on with a degree of flexibility, that's due to run out. So he wants to get the parties into an election, and he's, if you like, looking on the bright side of some of the parties, both Sinn Féin and the DUP, talking about the need to restore devolution without dwelling too much on the fact that they haven't really changed their bottom lines. So he's also said that if there isn't a success in these talks, then election, an assembly election might be inevitable. So we might be moving from one election to another.
One final question, Mark. But why would, with the bedroom tax, the welfare mitigation issue, it comes to an end, doesn't it, end of March, before the next financial year. So all of those people that were getting extra payments because Northern Ireland was able to argue and fight for mitigation against that welfare reform, that runs out at the end of March, as we know. That's going to be a huge story if nothing's done. Why would the local parties want to be back in local government and getting the blame for not having done something about that, rather than holding off, and therefore it's the fault of the big bad Westminster lot?
Well, that's possible. You can, I suppose, look at this in two different ways. There are various things, be it Brexit, be it the RHI inquiry, be it the problems with public sector pay and welfare mitigations, which might all be seen as a reason for the parties to stay away. But particularly in relation, say, to that welfare mitigation, you'll remember that was at the centre of a previous crisis in Stormont. You could also see this being brought into the talks, and maybe Westminster politicians trying to use this as leverage. You know, if you go back, that will, you know, be looked on quite kindly in terms of rolling any further welfare mitigation package forward. Although it was Stormont, of course, I think, which financed the previous package. So it may well be that there'll be both push and pull factors involved in these talks on the other side of the election.
Mark Devenport, thank you very much indeed.